Kevin, here we are. We're sitting in a courtyard here at the Moxie in Paris, France, drinking our cafe. In all seriousness, the last, it's been almost 2 weeks together traveling with Minnesota Military Radio. How do you feel about what we really have done? You know, the sights that we've seen and the gravity that I know I feel on my heart.
It was incredible to have seen, something that was talked about in my family on a frequent basis, because as those C-47s were flying over from their staging bases in England, they were flying over my grandparents' home, and my mother would remember this day as the day that the skies were black with American planes as they were flying over the English Channel to liberate Europe. And the liberation of Europe is a personal item for my family. It's a personal item for my family because my English mother and her sisters in the suburban town of Teddington were relentlessly bombed by the Germans throughout the war. The Battle of Britain is something that, again, was talked about so frequently in my family. Their home was destroyed. My mother's school was destroyed. Her memories of horrific violence and of losing friends as a child, that was very difficult for her. It framed her her mindset and her perspective of life. And one of the main reasons that I joined the military is just that commitment to service. And so while my family was not directly involved in the liberation of Europe, my family was the recipient of the liberation of Europe.
Well, what a great story. And I didn't know that. And so thank you for sharing. As I think about my family ties to World War II, of course, I had a grandfather who served. He was in the Marine Corps, not here in Normandy on D-Day. He was over in the islands on the way towards China, and he served in many locations en route with the first Marines, and ending up during the occupation of China. So I think about him as we come here. But I will tell you, as I come here and I see these sites, you don't really understand until you see it in person. The movies, the pictures, the books, nothing really has done justice of that other than being able to actually put your own two eyes on it.
I couldn't agree with you more. I've had the privilege of serving alongside you in our nation's army. In my case, it was for 31 years, and they teach us about tactics and analyzing the terrain. I can assure you, and I can assure our listeners, that this is extraordinarily difficult terrain. To enter a beachhead that was 300 meters from the end of from where you exited your landing craft, across open beaches with high ground, with fire just directly upon you. Those rangers at Pointe du Hoc climbing those 30 meters, nearly 100 feet sheer straight up, with the enemy firing directly down on you, throwing hand grenades directly down on you, cutting your ropes. It was absolutely incredible, the initial invasion. And then we've all heard the term hedgerows before. Well, now I know what a hedgerow is. It is an ancient break of very thick trees and shrubs that border all of these farms here in this rural area. And it's impossible to see on the other side. It's impossible to know what's on the other side. So this is a extraordinarily difficult military operation, and the bravery, and as you said, Doug, seeing it for yourself is a must.
One of the things that I was really interested in as we were going through this, the tour and looking at the sites and, you know, obviously researching a little bit about each of these sites because you want to be able to really understand it. And again, seeing it firsthand, but I thought it was interesting the number of what some might call mishaps along the way that proved to be very beneficial. You know, for example, you know, the landing at Utah being a little bit further east than what, you know, they thought it should have been. We talk about the misdrops of the airborne division at Gren, and you know how that particular misdrop at Gren, although as Dom described, kind of potentially war crimes happening, had that not happened, that SS division of Panzers would have been able to get through and prevent that connection of Omaha and Utah Beach, which was a critical supply line. And you know, those, it's just a story after story that we've heard from both Dominic and Doug. You know, we plan for the worst, hope for the best as military people. But the interesting thing I thought was, no matter what it was, our service members knew what the mission was, knew what they needed to do, and they just made it happen.
Our service members did, and one of the things that I learned through Dom was the importance of the French resistance. Not sure that they get enough credit from the viewpoint of an American. You know, there were radio coded radio signals or coded radio items from the BBC that were being listened to in France that let the French resistance know when the invasion was coming, and it was their trigger to disrupt rail, disrupt bridges. In the example of Gren, you know, that entire American company was dropped off because of a navigation error. Dom showed us where a pilot could reasonably think that they were at a particular river when in fact it was at a canal, you know, 20 kilometers away from the drop zone. So a unit was dropped intact, way off of course, but the citizens of the town, they took them in. After the fighting started, and as you mentioned, holding off an entire SS division, ultimately delaying them from merging and stopping the other forces that were driving in, they really took care of the Americans with the food, and then when the injuries started to happen, taking care of the injured, it was really inspiring to see the cooperation and Doug, the appreciation of every French citizen that we met for the efforts of the Americans and our allies for the liberation of Normandy and France and of Europe.
You know, and Kevin, you know, 80 years later, you know, we're here doing this special show. We drive into Bayou, and I was absolutely surprised at the number of U.S. flags that I saw flying in Bayou. And that leads to the point of, you know, that appreciation that, you know, these citizens in that area, in France in general, that they have for Americans. And one thing I think that is extremely important for our listeners to understand is that this land has been occupied. We've never experienced that. And I think that that gratitude of what the Allied forces did to bring liberation here to a country that was occupied, it just speaks volumes.
Well, we have to look no further than our guide, Dominique Francois, and his grandfather and their family farm being occupied by a German artillery battery. And in preparation of D-Day, that battery being bombed by the Allies, and his grandfather actually being killed during that attack, and his aunt being killed, and another one of his uncles being killed, and having his uncle being trapped underneath not only the rubble of their destroyed home, but underneath the body of the grandfather. I mean, these are very personal, dramatic and traumatic stories that so many people in France carry with them. The flip side of that story was the Americans that came through his village, that helped the family, helped recover the horrific aftermath and the remains of his grandfather, and helped get the children to the next level of care through the church, because of the soldiers' compassion and caring for the citizens that they ultimately were responsible for liberating. Those are the powerful stories that will stick with me.
One final comment here. This place, we walk the ground. You and I deployed together to Iraq in 2009, 2010. It was a different war, and just can't imagine what it was like for these soldiers, for these service members, to navigate that terrain, to deal with the heavy losses, and still have that motivation to continue to move on. And it wasn't even on their land, but it was for a great cause, and that was to liberate Europe.
That's exactly true. Soldiers and service members of all branches during this era, well, we take for granted the technology we have at our disposal. We take for granted that we have GPS and probably wouldn't veer off course by 10 kilometers to land an invasion force. We take for granted the ability to instantly communicate. And what these service members did is just absolutely heroic. They did things with paper maps. They were cut off by communication. There was no way to. They were dropped not in intact units. They formed ad hoc units. Immediately developed leadership. When we were at Braycourt Manor, the famous scene in Band of Brothers episode 2 was based off of. The only direction was there are guns in that hedgerow. Go take them out. So an ad hoc group led by, then Captain Dick Winters went in and destroyed an entire four times as big German field artillery battery. It was just the leadership, the tenacity, the understanding of the mission and the desire to liberate Europe.
And mission after mission, they succeeded. And it wasn't just a 10-month boot-on-ground deployment like what we had, 1 year total. It was multiple years that many of these service members were in this theater of operation.
Yeah, that's exactly it, because great news, you've successfully established a foothold on the Coatan Peninsula, but now you have to fight your way to Paris, and then you have to fight your way through the rest of France, and then you have to fight your way through Northern Europe and ultimately into Germany. It was an incredible, daunting task. And one of the dates that fell over our trip while we were here was the Victory Over Europe Day. And just to see that this is still such a framing event in the conscience of the people that we've met in France and throughout Europe, It really brings into perspective the enormity of the task of that D-Day invasion and landing.
Well, Kevin, I just want to say thank you. Personally, thank you so much for the work, the time, the effort you put into to getting this all put together, and for your attention to detail to making sure that we were on time, on track, on target for everything that we did. And I just want to say thank you and really appreciate the work that you've done for us.
Well, it's an honor to see firsthand what our service members, men and women, did to take on this incredible task, to truly help people and to liberate an entire continent and make the world better. It's just a privilege to be here, and I would encourage anybody that has the opportunity to travel to France. You'll find that there's plenty of opportunities to fall in on various tours and learn and see for yourself what we've seen over the last few days.
This is Doug Wortham, and I'd like to just say thank you for spending time with us here on Minnesota Military Radio as we do commemorate the 80th anniversary of D-Day.